everyone, and welcome back to the 10th episode of Gen STEM. As usual, I'm your host, Neha, and I'm super excited to be back and discussing a brand new topic with you all. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, or if you aren't very familiar with Gen STEM, Gen STEM is a podcast that discusses all the current events and new discoveries happening in the STEM field. Additionally, we also discuss tips and advice for aspiring STEM professionals. You can learn more about our podcast and its goals by watching our trailer. But watch the trailer after listening to this episode, of course. So in this episode, I hope to give you an introduction to machine learning. I also hope to cover the common machine learning methods of supervised and unsupervised learning, and the common algorithm approaches in machine learning, including the k-nearest neighbor algorithm, decision tree learning, and deep learning. I also hope to explore which programming languages are the most used in the machine learning field, and some of the careers in the field. So if you're interested in learning more about machine learning, please continue listening to this episode. First of all, what exactly is machine learning, and what is it used for? Well, machine learning is a subfield of artificial intelligence, or AI, and the main goal of machine learning is to generally understand the structure of data. Then it needs to fit that data into models that can be understood or utilized by people for various purposes. There are two common machine learning methods. The first one is supervised learning, which trains algorithms based on example input and output data that is labeled by humans. So in supervised learning, the computer is provided with example inputs that are labeled with their desired outputs. The main goal of this method is for the algorithm to be able to learn by comparing its actual output with the taught outputs to find errors and modify the model accordingly. Supervised learning therefore then uses patterns to predict label values on additional unlabeled data. An example of using supervised learning is where you're given data about the size of houses on the real estate market and you have to predict their price. Another example is an algorithm may give you data with images of goldfish labeled as fish and images of oceans labeled as water. By being trained on this data, the supervised learning algorithm should be able to later identify unlabeled goldfish images as fish and unlabeled ocean images as water. The second method is unsupervised learning. In unsupervised learning, data is unlabeled, so a learning algorithm is left to find commonalities among its input data. Since there is usually more unlabeled data than labeled data, machine learning methods that facilitate unsupervised learning are particularly valuable. The main goal of unsupervised learning is just discovering the hidden patterns within a dataset. So in short, without being told a correct answer, unsupervised learning methods look at the complex data that is bigger and unseemingly related in order to organize it into potentially meaningful ways. In fact, unsupervised learning is often used for detection of fraud credit card purchases and recommending systems on what products to buy next. An example of unsupervised learning is when you're given a collection of a million different genes and you have to find a way to automatically group these genes into groups that are somehow similar or related by different variables, such as lifespan, location, roles, and etc. Another example of unsupervised learning is when you're given untagged photos of dogs as the input data for algorithms and you have to find the likeliness and classify the dog photos together. Now that you know about supervised and unsupervised learning, let's talk about the approaches to machine learning. Some of the commonly used techniques for investigating the relationship among quantitative variables are correlation and regression. Correlation is the measure of association between two variables. They're not designated as either dependent or independent. And regression at the basic level is used to examine the relationship between one independent and one dependent variable. Because regression statistics can be used to predict the dependent variable when the independent variable is known, regression enables prediction capabilities. But the approaches to machine learning are being continuously developed. But in this episode, we'll talk about the most popular ones being used in machine learning. First of all, we have the k-nearest neighbor algorithm, which is a pattern recognition model that can be used for classification as well as regression. The k in the k-nearest neighbor is a positive integer, which is typically small. In either the classification or regression, the input will consist of the k closest training examples within a space. In this method, the output is a class membership. This will assign a new object to the class most common among its k nearest neighbors. In the case of k equals 1, the object is assigned to the class of the single nearest neighbor. Among the basic of machine learning algorithms, k nearest neighbor is considered to be the lazy type learning, as generalization beyond the training data does not occur until a query is made to the system. Second of all, we have decision tree learning. They're generally employed to visually represent decisions and show or inform decision making. When working with machine learning and data mining, decision trees are used as predictive models. These models map observations about data to conclusions about the data's target value. The goal of decision tree learning is to create a model that will predict the value of a target based on input values. In the predictive model, the data's attributes that are determined through observation are represented by the branches, while the conclusions about the data's target value are represented by the leaves. When learning a tree, the source data is divided into subsets based on the attribute value test, which is repeated on each of the derived subsets recursively. Once the subset at the node has an equal value as its target value, the process will be complete. Third of all, we have deep learning. Deep learning attempts to intimidate how the human brain can process light and sound stimuli into vision and hearing. A deep learning architecture is inspired by biological neural networks and consists of multiple layers in an artificial neural network made up of hardware and GPUs. Deep learning uses nonlinear processing unit layers in order to transform features or representations of data. The output of one layer serves as the input of a successive layer. In deep learning, algorithms can either be supervised and serve to classify data or unsupervised and perform pattern analysis. Among the machine learning algorithms that are currently being used and developed, deep learning can be given the most data and can even be able to beat humans in some tasks. Because of these attributes, deep learning has become the approach with the significant potential in artificial intelligence. Deep learning approaches have also made significant advances in computer vision and speech recognition. So what are the most popular programming languages used in machine learning? Many sources say that Python is the most sought for programming language in machine learning, followed by Java, R, and C++. The reason why Python is so popular may be because of the increased development of deep learning frameworks available in the language recently. Since there is a readable syntax and it can be used as a scripting language, Python proves to be a powerful and straightforward way for both pre-processing data and working with data directly. Before we wrap up this episode, I want to talk to you about some careers in the machine learning field. It's a growing field with many opportunities and many different types of jobs are in the field. First of all, we have machine learning engineers, and they're primarily involved with the design and development of machine learning systems and applications by using machine learning algorithms and tools. They also conduct and run various machine learning experiments using programming languages that we talked about before. Second up, we have data scientists, and they are high-profile experts who use advanced technologies like machine learning on a daily basis to collect, store, process, analyze, and interpret massive amounts of data. Their primary duty is to get valuable insights from large data sets and then convert them into business value. Third up, we have natural language processing scientists, or also known as NLP scientists. They aim to impart machines with the ability to understand natural human languages. They also are primarily responsible for designing and developing machines and applications that can learn the patterns of speech of a human language, and they can also translate spoken words into other languages. So in short, the main goal here is to help machines comprehend human languages as naturally as humans do. Two excellent examples of these kinds of applications are Grammarly and Duolingo. Keep in mind that these are only some of the jobs that I talked about, and there's so many more in the field. So if you want to know more, please feel free to research more. So if you're interested in machine learning, here are a few things that you can do to start preparing for your career in machine learning. First of all, take courses online. Some of the courses that I would recommend for you are Stanford's Machine Learning and Michigan's Machine Learning with Python and Coursera. There are also many other courses online, so do some research on them as well. Second of all, if you don't know Python or any of the programming languages that we talked about, try to learn them. There are many great resources online that you can use to learn these programming languages. After learning them, you can also try to apply them to personal machine learning projects of your own and start building your very own portfolio. Finally, you can also do some research in the field. There are new discoveries being made in the machine learning field every day, so there are probably some opportunities near you to do some research in it. We talked about landing research opportunities in one of our previous podcast episodes, so feel free to watch the episode after this one. Well, that's all for today, and I'm going to start wrapping up this episode now. I'm hopeful that you got an introduction to machine learning and the careers in the field. If you like this week's episode, please subscribe to my podcast and stay in tune for the next episode. While you're waiting, you can also check out our blog at genstem.wixsite.com/genstem. genstem.wixsite.com/genstem. And if you didn't watch your previous episodes, feel free to go check them out also. In the first episode, we talk about tips for landing remote internships and how to ace your next virtual interview. In the second episode, we talk about steps for vaccine development. And in the third episode, we talk about what dark matter and dark energy exactly are. And in the fourth episode, we talk about the impact of environmental issues on human health. In the fifth episode, we talk about the good and the bad about CRISPR. And in the sixth episode, we talked about natural selection and the evidence behind it. And in our seventh episode, we talked about what exactly biodiversity is. And in our eighth episode, we talked about tips on how to land research opportunities. And finally, in our ninth episode, we gave you an introduction to cybersecurity. And if there are any topics that you want to be discussed on GenSTEM or you have any questions about the podcast, please feel free to email me at genstemblog@gmail.com. GenstemBlog@gmail.com. I'm open to any new ideas and I'll try to respond to them as soon as possible. I also started an Instagram account for GenSTEM just recently, so I'd appreciate it if you would support us over there as well. I also will post all the new updates there so you can be up to date and well informed on what's going on at GenSTEM. I look forward to talking to you all again next week, and as usual, in the meantime, keep learning and stay curious.